Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Age of Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Steve. I just want to let you know that for all the latest on our podcast, hit us up at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also on Patreon if you want to check that out. But our homepage is with the Age of Radio Network at ageofradio.org/everythingilearnedfrommovies. And if you're looking for some amazing art, check out my wife's Etsy page at untidyvenus.etsy.com. All kinds of great stuff there. Also, follow us at PodcartFest, that's PodcartFest, for our periodic art and podcasting festival that we're going to be hosting. It's actually pretty cool. Check it out. So yeah, on that note, let's get to the show. Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy, where the one last plot holes are gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
Slipstream, the future. A river of turbulent wind has swept the skies, and nature has reclaimed the planet. In the desolate wasteland that remains, a mysterious fugitive is pursued and captured by a brutal lawman and his feisty tracker. When a wily bounty hunter grabs their prisoner.
What the hell happened here?
Mr. Rowan here thinks he's gonna take our prisoner.
They vow to track him to the edge of existence.
Poison dart. Now drop the gun and we'll talk about getting you the antidote.
I never believe a man staring down the barrel of a gun.
Well, you should this time.
Now, it's a race against time across dangerous territory.
This is forbidden territory. What are you doing?
You're under arrest. All of you.
Let's show them what we got, boys.
This is what hell is. You're stuck in a place like this forever.
I can help you.
A battle of wits in an unknown land.
I'll give you the antidote. That's what I like. Teamwork. A sense of fair play.
You've misled them about us. So how can we know you're not misleading us about them?
Go to hell!
It's our next stop!
A test of courage under fire.
I should kill you right now is what I should do.
And this time there will be no prisoners.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is
Everything I Learned from Movies.
And tonight!
Oh, tonight.
Oh, we are kicking off Marky March.
Bah, bah, bah.
With 1989's Slipstream.
Yeah!
Oh, but guys, it's not Mark Wahlberg this time. It's Mark Hamill that's going to be in these movies this month. It's going to be great.
Yes!
Babe.
Yes, Steve?
Do you remember your first time watching this movie?
This was the first time.
Of course it was. I think it's like going to be everybody's first time. I didn't even know this movie existed until we were looking up his IMDb, and it was like, oh, this is a thing. Okay. But babe.
Steve.
Before we get too much into this, I don't know about you. I'm a little thirsty.
I'm a little sober.
Oh, well, I'll go with this one first. From Epic Brewing, we have their Los Locos Lager, a Mexican-style lager with lime and sea salt added. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. White on light turquoise.
Hold on, before you read that, Future Steve cut this. My friend Joy, who hopefully we'll get to meet up with in Los Angeles, knows what movie she wants to do. Beautician and the Beast.
Ugh.
babe. We do bad movies, so we can do it.
It's true. Fran Drescher and a Bond.
Yeah.
But take the beach with you anytime, anywhere, and skip the limes. We've already done the work for you. A squeeze of natural lime juice and a touch of sea salt make this Mexican-style lager bright, a little tart, and perfectly refreshing. Brewed and packaged by Epic Brewing Company, Denver, Colorado.
They're not in Denver anymore.
5.1%.
Remember, they were closing it the week we went.
That's right, yeah. They closed right after Great America Beer Fest, didn't they?
That's what they claimed. Or did they not end up closing it?
Or I think they closed the restaurant but they still have production there. I hope so. I don't think this is over a year old. I just got this at the liquor store.
Oh, the sons of bitches says it's open.
Well, there you go.
Apparently their closing sale was just for shits and giggles.
Oh, well, there you go. Liars, anyway.
Oh, apparently they got sold in July. They were liquidated to Russell Group. Oh. And beverage manufacturing Hancock's.
I'm sorry, what?
It says beverage manufacturing Hancock's. But yes, the tap room in Denver is open.
All right, cool. Well, there you go. Next time we go to Denver. Maybe for HomebrewCon/GABF this year. What? Who knows? In the meantime, my top.
His top.
Oh, Los Locos. And the poor.
This is a very pale, lightly cloudy beverage.
Yeah, it looks like kind of looks like a Corona with the lime
already in it.
He's in it, yeah.
It's got a white foamy head. It's very effervescent. Yeah, you can smell the lime right on the nose. Ooh. It's almost perfumey with lime.
Yeah, you can taste it right at the beginning too. It's very limey.
It's almost perfumey with lime.
Mm. And the salt or whatever, and I guess probably accentuates it too. Like
it tastes like fake lime though.
Yeah, that's just it. It's the
extract.
Yeah, the one that comes in the little lime squeeze bottle thing.
Mm. Oh, that's lime juice.
I guess that's real.
This
lime
is
juice,
like essential oil.
Eau de lime.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, not gonna lie, it's okay, but
it's fine.
Yeah, little strong with the. I definitely couldn't drink like two of these without.
I'll take the Uinta lime one over this, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The lime pilsner?
Lime pilsner? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-mm-mm. But that's Epic Brewing's Los Locos Mexican Style Lager. Oh. So, babe. Slipstream.
Slipstream.
From 1989. Make sure you look up the right one, because apparently there's like five or six movies out there called Slipstream. There's the one with like Anthony Hopkins from like 2008. I think there's one with Sean Astin I saw when I was looking it up from like 2015. Like there's a couple out there. It's 1989. You might be wondering, where can you find it? It's on the Blood Bank. It's on Tubi. It's on Crackle. It's on Plex. It's on Fubo TV or whatever. But it comes from director Steven Lisberger.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. He's the writer-director of Animal Olympics, Tron.
Oh shit!
That's right. The guy that did Tron, Hot Pursuit, the '80s one. Not the God. There was that one a couple years ago with was it like Reese Witherspoon and like Ava Longoria or no, the chick from Modern Family, Sofia Vergara.
Yes,
that's right. and this, he just directed though. He didn't write this one. And that's basically it for him. This was his bow out, I guess. Screenplay by Tony Kaden.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. He did three episodes of The Waltons, one of Beretta, more Wild Wild West, which I assume is more Wild Wild West. Out of Bounds, this, one episode of Dark Justice, When Justice Falls, and American Pastime. I'm gonna guess it's not about baseball. I don't know. And story by Bill Bauer. Who's he? He did this. One episode of the Jackie Thomas Show, whatever that is, and a short. That's it.
Okay.
This is Bill Bauer's thing, I guess. Oh, but the cast. Not a star in the sky, for they're all in this movie, including a Skywalker. Yes, Mr. Woo-hoo! Mark Hamill as Tasker. Bob Peck as Byron. Babe, who's Bob Peck?
Clever girl.
That's right, Muldoon from Jurassic Park. Honestly, the only thing I think I've seen him in. But yeah, when he popped up, it was like, clever girl. Sir William Paxton as Matt Owens.
Who's he, Steve?
Aliens. I'm trying to go like the obscure one. Near Dark.
Give me your clothes. Your clothes, give them to me.
Fuck you, asshole. As Brian Thompson watches. Kitty Aldridge as Beletsky. Who's she? I looked her up. She's actually, I think she's married to like the lead guitarist of Dire Straits.
Okay.
Yeah. Thought that was interesting. Susan Leong as Abigail. Don't know who she is. Robbie Coltrane for a cup of coffee as Montclair. Academy Award winner F. Murray Abraham as Cornelius.
Yeah.
And Academy Award winner Ben Kingsley as Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yeah,
this movie no one's ever heard of is kind of stacked.
It's stacked!
But babe, how did we watch this one? I think it was the Blood Bank, right?
It was the Blood Bank?
Yeah, it's on Tubi and Crackle and Plex and stuff. Yeah. But yeah. But yeah, we watched it on Blood Bank, so less commercials. All right, but basically we hit play, and we find out. I was expecting to start off the year is 2024, and man has destroyed the earth.
Yeah.
We don't get a specific year, but it's in the future. And...
in the not too distant future.
Yep. And basically, man's destroyed Earth, and there's all sorts of floods, and there's this like. What they call a perpetual river of wind called the slipstream that just is blowing all around.
It's cleansed the earth.
Yeah, it... So, guys, apparently all of the earth, or at least that we see in this movie, is basically in a canyon. And it's like, okay, so the slipstream, like, dug this canyon out because of the constant wind or whatever. That's just where... Because it's like, it's not where people go to hide from it or anything. Like, you don't go in a canyon to hide from wind. I don't know. But,
It basically seems like, the canyon is the only place left, like, where you can live, though.
Yeah. Like, you can build into the side of the canyons to live in the caves.
Yeah, if you go too high, it's too windy.
Yeah, it only gets worse or something. I can see that.
Because we'll get to it, but one character will be on a kite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, they talk about the world's in turmoil. There's this river of wind called the slipstream. But this is about a fugitive that needs a friend.
Aww.
And I'm like, wait, what? So then we see a guy in a suit just running in this canyon or whatever. A lot of the movie kind of looks like set pieces from The Highlander, but then also like the New Mexico desert. Like, it's kind of a weird combo of the two. He's in this canyon being chased by a plane that looks like a fucking drone, but I guess it's a real plane. I don't know. It's like, you kind of have to look it up. Picture a drone plane and now human size it. That's kind of what it looks
like. It's an ultralight.
Yeah. Okay. I see it. But yeah, we see it's being flown by Mark Hamill with blonde hair. You know, he's got it all.
Oh my god!
And he's got the facial hair and everything.
Oh my god! He is platinum blonde up top, and then still has his sort of like sandy colored beard.
Yeah,
it is a look. And for a second, legit, you have to be like, "Hold on, that is Mark Hamill, right?"
Yeah.
And then he also is doing just a little bit of an accent, but just enough. We're like, was he dubbed?
Yeah.
Like, he's almost not Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah, but we found the guy in the suit is basically Muldoon from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
We find out later his name's Byron or whatever. But he's just running and running and running and trying to get away. And then we get to a part where Mark Hamill pulls out like a harpoon gun and shoots Byron like through his forearm. And he just kind of gives Byron just gives like a weird look at his arm. I'm like, oh, okay, he's a robot. Got it. And they like yank him down from like the top of this canyon. Yee-hoo-hoo! Splat. And
I believe this is the part where Steve was like, well, I think he's a robot.
Yeah. Like, okay, I get it. He's a robot. Because, yeah, there wasn't, like, blood gushing out or anything. And he just kind of gave a word like, huh. Like, I've seen enough Star Trek Next Generation to know what a data is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, huh, is this what pain is? Yeah, but as soon as he lands, he starts talking about, like, oh, I reached out and touched the hand of God. And I'm like, oh, no, they're trying to do Blade Runner.
Right?
Oh, no.
Just like it.
And yeah, this is the first time we hear Mark Hamill talking. I'm like, wait, is he dubbed? Like it sounded like maybe Bill Paxton was doing the voice or something.
Yeah, he doesn't have a super deep voice to begin with, but yeah. He's going a little bit higher, and he's just doing a little bit of some sort of cadence thing.
Yeah. So yeah, then we cut to an airfield where we see Bill Paxton showed up into this movie, and he's tying a knot or something, and I'm like, oh, cool. So then he goes to, I don't know, the future bar, and he's like wandering around and flirting with a waitress and stuff like that.
Dude, causing so much trouble in this bar.
Dude, yeah, like, I'm like...
First he goes in the back and flirts with one of the waitresses / cooks. Mm-hmm. Then he comes out and flirts with what we find out is a lady cop.
Yeah, bounty hunter. Yeah.
Bounty hunter lady cop. And then he's like, I don't know, he apparently like owes everybody in the bar money or something. Like, yeah. He's just getting bounced around from table to table.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically with the bounty hunter or whatever, you know, he starts getting slightly aggressive with his innuendo, and she basically ends up just like knocking him on his ass. Like, he, like, pulls his legs out from under him and he falls down or whatever with, like, a rope or something. I don't know. Oh, and then, yeah, Tasker comes in. And, you know, we meet him by name and everything. And that's where we find out, oh, yeah, he's a bounty hunter. Like, oh, cool. Who is this guy you're carrying around wearing handcuffs? Oh, his name's, there's, like, I don't know. They say something about him killing an old guy.
Yeah.
And that's why he's got to take him to this village or whatever to hang. What's the saying go, babe? Men are hung, bad men are hanged, or something.
Oh,
shit like
yeah.
That. Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, but then Bill Paxton ends up like pulling a gun on him and like stealing Muldoon. Oh, that's right. He's like walking Byron, sorry. Yeah. Like Mark Hamill's like walking Byron out to the plane or whatever to take off. But then Bill Paxton pops up, pulls a gun on him. He's like, hey, I think I'll be taking him now because I want to get the bounty for him.
One of the guys at one of the tables is like, oh, man, yeah, that asshole and the chick you were just hitting on. Yeah, they only come out for the big money. That guy they've got, heard he killed a guy. He must have done something terrible because, yeah, they wouldn't come out this far if it wasn't a ton of money. Bill Paxton's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so he stops him, and Mark Hamill just kind of, like, hands him over, like, look, buddy, just give him back, and I won't have to kill you. He's like, what are you talking about, man? I got the advantage here. And he's like, look, all right, but I'm going to give you, like, one more chance. Don't do something stupid. Like, keep doing what you're doing. Whatever, man. Game over. You know, that kind of shit, right? Bounty Hunter comes around back, and she's like, oh, what's going on here? Like, this guy's trying to take our person. He's like, oh, well, yeah, maybe I'll take you up on that offer now, Bill Paxton. Like, maybe blah, blah, blah.
Mark Hamill's like, will you just shoot this asshole already?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we don't have time for this. Bill Paxton gets darted.
Yeah, like, haha, now you've been poisoned.
Now we can talk about getting you that antidote, but first you gotta give us our guy back. And then, I don't know exactly what happened here, because Mark Hamill got hit with a plane rudder or something as Bill Paxton was getting away. But it was like maybe 8 frames. Like, he just kind of turned around and there was like a plane going away. And like hit him. And then Bill Paxton's like in his plane flying off. But you know, still had to run to it. He wasn't in it quite yet. I don't know. It was kind of a weird little scene. But Paxton and Byron are flying off, I was like, well, thank goodness he's got that transmitter in his blood from that dart. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, totally. And as I ran down, oh, they're on a plane now. Okay, that's cool. That was fun. And yeah, Bill Paxton, he's flying. He's got, there's like cargo netting separating where Bill Paxton's sitting in the front and where Byron is in the back. I guess it's just how back seats are in those kind of prop planes or whatever. But he pulls out a CD, and I'm like, 1989, fucking
da. Like, this is cutting edge fucking technology.
And puts it in the player, and we start getting some like big country knockoff kind of music, like in a big country dream, stay with you.
Yes, very very big Men at Work vibes.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, they're like they're flying in the slipstream so they can get there faster. I don't know. I think it's just how, because like most of the planes are like essentially gliders, right? Like they have like the one prop in front, but they're just kind of like to conserve fuel, they'll like shut it off and just kind of glide.
Yeah, they're ultralights. Like, so ultralights are typically towed up by real airplanes, and they do have an engine and a motor, so they can glide for hours and hours and hours, but you can shut it off and just glide if you have enough wind.
Ah, well, there you go. But then he starts talking like, hey, we what'd you do, you have to get punished, and I gotta turn you in to get money. He's like, oh, well, you know, I've done the horrible things, maybe I deserve to be punished, blah blah blah. And like, all right, that's cool. Hey, I'm gonna pull up this village here that's built into the sides of the canyon, if that's cool. Yeah, sure. These villages like look like the Peruvian ruins or like the Anasazi ruins and stuff, and I'm like, did they make these, or are these like real ones they got a permit to shoot at or something?
Right?
Like, I don't know. It's kind of cool looking, but I don't know. You know, sometimes like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade got to film at Petra and stuff, but you know, this isn't that. I don't know. Although I think it's the same year. Yeah. which watching the 720p res version that we saw, it's like, man, same year as Last Crusade, huh? Batman 89, huh?
Yep. Like, seriously, if you told me this was made in 79, I would have believed you.
Yeah, totally.
And like, then I really
this is
been...
what he did between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back or
and
something.
Then, and then I really would have been fucking blown away by the CD.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my god, they do. But yeah, they get out and, Paxton finds out that Byron actually already had his cuffs off. He's like, hey, how'd you do that? He's like, oh, sorry. They weren't that comfortable, and like hands it to him or whatever. They go walking around this village, and first thing they see is Hagrid and his family in a hot tub. They're like, is that Robbie Coltrane? Son of a bitch. But I don't know. We go to, I guess, Bill Paxton's room, and he's got a bunch of like model like balloons and zeppelins and shit hanging up in his room, and I'm like, is he supposed to be like 18 or some shit, or this is obviously like an early 30s Bill Paxton.
Right? No, he has a dream of starting a balloon company. Mm-hmm. We're gonna find out.
Yep. And the money I get for turning your ass in is gonna help me achieve that dream, so we gotta go, buddy. That's right, he's like telling him like what his dream is or whatever, and then he turns around and Byron's gone. He's like, oh shit, and he was like running out chasing after him. Meanwhile, Byron's just in the middle of the village surrounded by like women and children and apparently curing cataracts in a boy's
he's
eyes.
He's like curing the blind,
just doing the Jesus touch and like, oh, there we go.
Also, so like he does this, but then this is sort of the only time he does this.
Yeah.
And then later he is gonna, like, we're gonna get to it, but he's gonna talk about how he's like programmed to do things. How was he programmed to fix cataracts?
He's a doctor, man.
Like,
I don't know. It's
like if it was like Bill Paxton got hit in the head with, like the plane propeller, and then wakes up like 2 days later and he done cataract surgery. Like, it would have made more sense, but I feel like
he just kind of like put the hands over his eyes and like, there you go, Chet.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a magical thing that got cut from this.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, so then I don't know. They go flying off. Like, all right, cool. We gotta go. We don't have time for this shit. And then the bounty hunters, they pull into the town like right after them, and they're like outside of town, like following a trail or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they run into Hagrid and his family just in the woods, and they were. What the fuck were they smuggling? It was like, didn't they say it was like paprika or
poppy seeds?
Poppy seeds. That's what it was. Yeah, and like, oh man, let's go for $5 a seed on the street
or
whatever.
You know why it's poppy seeds?
Because opium?
Opium.
Yeah. Good old Hagrid.
Babe, do you remember when my elderly aunts realized they were accidentally growing opium poppies?
Good times. But yeah, basically...
Weren't they asking you if you could recognize opium poppies? And you were like, how would I know?
I don't know. I only see the finished form. Poppy seed muffins.
Yeah.
Not heroin.
Opium.
Opium. Same thing, right?
No.
I don't know my fucking drugs, babe.
I know. Steve's the guy to ask about drugs. See, you're making my point about...
I'm gonna go eat a crack. I'll be right back.
I think you butt smuggle a crack.
I mean, obviously. That's why it's called
pretty
a crack.
Sure it's a suppository. Go straight in the crack.
I mean, if you want to be most effective, just dip it in some vodka up there. And then go to the hospital. Mark Hamill or whatever, what's his name? Tasker. That's right. He's like, all right, you guys, you're under arrest. Like, he kind of like half-assed, like, I gotta arrest you now. And they're like, oh, you hear that, boys? We're under arrest. And they start pulling their guns. There's a whole big shootout. But, I mean, the bounty hunters win in, like, 3 seconds. Like,
yeah.
Like there's, like, seven in Robbie's crew. And, I don't know, they fire 5 shots and get all of them. Like, it's that quick. It's like, choo, choo, choo. Okay, they're dead. All right. And then, that's right, they, like, bury him. They, like, stack rocks or whatever on him. And there's this whole thing, like, oh, I don't want to be killing no people along the way. I just want to get the money, take him in and get the money. Like, well, you know, they shot at us. It happens. Oh, well. And then Tasker pulls out, like, a fucking speaking spell. And he's, like, typing in.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're not sending in all the reports on this shit, are you? Like, we've got to send in the reports.
Yeah. Oh, that's where we get, like, you know, nobody reads those reports anymore since the whole thing fell apart. And he was like, Hamill's like, you know, we have to keep order. We're the last ones. We're the last line between humanity and chaos. And the more of humanity we take out, the less chaos there will be. And it's like,
I believe the exact quote is, every time human trash is put under a rock pile, the world's a better place.
There we go. Yeah.
And it's sort of everything like, I learned from movies.
Is he the bad guy?
No, sadly, I think he's the good guy, but we'll get to it. There's some questionable heroes in this is all I'm going to say, but let's see. Yeah. So then it's nighttime and Bill Paxton, I don't know, he's flying around and I couldn't tell if this, they're like flying around and he sees like this nude girl like doing yoga or some shit, but it's like projected on a rock wall. Or something?
Yeah, I think it's she lives in the cave and she's being backlit.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
Because the sun's going down.
Because they just look like a projection, but it was only showing it for like, you know, a quarter second at a time.
Yeah, and he's
whatever.
Like, hold on, we gotta whip around. Flaunt it if you got it, baby!
Yeah.
Oh shit, it's getting dark. We should land.
Yeah, so they land and get around a campfire or whatever, and this is where we find about his dream of doing a balloon factory. And Byron's basically like, I don't dream. I don't sleep. I don't know what that is. And I'm like, okay, so he's basically Data. He's trying to learn what these human emotions and shit are. And not everything's computing. And that's how, I don't know, I guess he euthanized an old guy or something, I'm going to assume. I don't know, whatever. But Bill Paxton's going to sleep and he's like, don't you try no funky stuff. Just get some shut-eye. And Gree's like, again, like, I'll try. I don't sleep. And at this point, it's like, when is okay? I'm just gonna skip to the part where they like, I don't know. It dawns on Bill Paxton that he's an android. Byron's an android,
right.
And we're like, yeah, you should have known that from the beginning. You're like, what? What? He's a robot. What? What do you mean? Like, are you fucking kidding? So they sleep. And then while they're sleeping, you point this out. We were trying to place the music that was playing, and it's like, oh, it's Ghostbusters in the library. Like, it's very similar to that with the weird...
Yeah, theremin.
Yeah. Beep, 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 boop, beep, 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 boop. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
The music in this is really odd, but at least it's consistent.
Yeah.
Like, it's consistently odd through the whole thing.
Yeah, it's, like very synth. Like, yeah. It has a synth bass line or whatever, so it's like, okay, it's 80s, futuristic, blah, 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 but also a little bit of, yeah, I guess the like a theremin or, like, just some weird woodwinds or something going on.
Yeah, some weird shit's happening.
Yeah. But, Bill Paxton's awoken when Byron is, like, checking his pulse on him while he's sleeping. He's like, what are you doing? Get back on the other side or whatever. Like, oh, it's just checking your pulse and, you know, for the effects of zermiflurum poisoning or whatever they said they shot him up with earlier in the day. Like, well, what do you think? Like, well, do you feel fine? Like, yeah, I feel fine. Okay, well, then, you know. Not showing any effects yet, or whatever.
They really just shot him with a tracker and are trying to freak him out, right?
Yeah. He's got that psychosomatic powder blowing through his blood right now.
Because after they shot him and then he takes off, they said, like, oh, that tracker should be kicking in any minute.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, that was when I was like, oh, he's not really poisoned. They're just freaking him out.
Yeah. So the next morning, they hop in the plane and fly off. But, they start flying again, and then Bill Paxton's like, well, shit, I think we're lost. I have no idea where I'm going. This sucks. But they find another village, you know, it built into the rocks and stuff again. And they go down, and they talk about, like, oh, yeah, this is one of those villages where they, like, worship the wind or whatever, man. They're like, kind of religious freaks about that.
Yeah.
And then somebody says something about finding the Avatar, and I'm like, oh, God. Is this going to be like Airbenders? What's going to happen? They're walking around like, oh yeah, we were hit by marauders the other day and they took a bunch of stuff, but you know, the wind shall provide and blah, blah, blah. And Byron starts helping some of the kids, I guess, that were hurt. And I don't know. And then, okay. So then we cut to inside one of the caves. And it looks like one of those giant stone coins with, like, the square hole cut in the middle.
Yeah.
Has fallen over on somebody.
Feng Shui coin.
Yeah. And because we just show this and it's like, oh, there's somebody under that. Babe, who is under that?
Who was it? I know it was the leader of the town, but who was the actor?
The Avatar played by Sir Benjamin Kingsley.
Yeah.
That's right. Ben Kingsley popping up in a movie. Who knew? For a day shooting, because, yeah, basically they, like, you know, get the coin, the giant boulder, basically, off of him, but it's shaped like a coin, and, he's, like, being, I don't know, like, tended to by, like, three women, and he's like, oh, I think my time has come,
They're like, but then he's like, these strangers, they're not one of us, we have to test them with the wind before... You can trust them.
Yep.
But they're healing our wounded.
It's a false prophet. He is no son of man, this one here. As Byron's, like, pulling apparently a long hair out of his head to, like, stitch up Ben Kingsley. Like, okay. He's got the short Muldoon haircut, so I don't know where he's pulling that long hair from.
Oh, babe. Yeah, some of the strings go all the way down to his butt. Like, it was just easier to do the hair all
the way. He pulls it out the top, and you see the one in his butt, like, whoop, whoop.
Exactly.
Inside? Okay.
It has a weird sensation going all the way through. You know, like when you get a long hair stuck in your butt in the shower? It's like that, but all the way. Have you never gotten my hair stuck in your butt?
Oh, one of your hairs? No. I mean...
ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
Ladies, you've been there with hair in your butt. So, as the Avatar is dying, he, like, has this ribbon in his hand, and it just blows out and goes flying off. Ooh. Yeah, that's right. The thing, like, goes off into the wind. It's like, oh, they'll be judged by the wind, these, you know, non-believers or whatever. And then we just cut to, like, Bill Paxton being tied up. And I'm like, wait, was there a cut scene or something here?
Right?
Did like, all the women, like, overpound? That's all we saw in this village, really.
Yeah, but he, like, wakes up tied up. Right?
Yeah.
So I just figured he, like, I don't know, fell asleep or passed out.
Yeah. And then, meanwhile, he kind of wakes up and, like, looks out the window or whatever. Or the window, but it's, like a slit. A little slit to, like, see outside from the, I guess, cell or whatever they're keeping him in. And he sees Byron on a kite just fucking gliding out there, like a giant kite. And they're like, oh, the wind will judge him and blah, blah, blah. If he survives, he survives. And I'm like, he's a fucking robot. He's going to be just fine as long as he doesn't land in the river, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, we see the bounty hunters are still closing in. I think that night or whatever, that's right. The bounty hunters just kind of like pop up where Bill Paxton is tied up. But he's like no longer tied up. He's just kind of chilling there, like, I don't know, waiting to see what they're going to do to him, or I don't know. Not a lot's explained, and it's kind of weird, and you can't really tell what's going on with the quality of, like, how dark the film is in some parts. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But the bounty hunters just kind of show up, and they're like, hey, where's Byron? Tell us where he is, and maybe we'll, if you help us, we'll talk about that antidote for you. And he's like, well, just look out the window, dude. Oh, shit. All right, let's try to get him in. If you don't, I'll shoot you. And, it's like a windy night. And, oh, yeah, this is where I was like, I don't know, man. I think he's going to die out there if we don't help him. He's like, he's an android. He's going to be just fine. Oh, what? An android?
What?
That's right. Mark Hamill says something like, yeah, he's like trying to be human, but he has to settle for being perfect instead. Poor guy.
Yeah, most humans try and be perfect. He's perfect just trying to be a human.
Yeah. And so then, they get a plan where Paxton, I don't know, pulls a fucking parachute, and he's like tied on a rope and pulls a parachute and goes out there by him. And he's up there like trying to cut Byron free from this this kite or whatever that he's flying around on.
Oh, hello! You decided to join me!
Like, oh, man, I'm gonna get you out of here!
I don't know if you're gonna survive these winds the way I would. Yeah. But and also, your friends are joining us, it appears.
No, we're trying to lose them! But then, like, the girl bounty hunter goes up there, and she's like, what are you doing?
If you don't wait for her to join us, she will definitely die. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, but at that point, Paxton, I think, cuts the main line on the kite, so they go flying off. And they crash, and then I guess they're just crawling until morning, because it's morning when we see them again next.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, roll credits on those guys now. But that's right. Byron basically, like, picks up Paxton and, like, takes him to a cave or something. Yeah, that's right. Because Paxton was, like, crawling, but Byron's, like, walking. He's like, oh, here, I can help you. And they, like, go to a cave. And then when everything was going down with the crash and everything, again... like 8 frames of Mark Hamill getting hit by something, and I'm like, oh, is he dead?
No, he's a robot, though, we're certain, right?
Well, Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
No, I mean...
because he keeps being hit by things where he should die.
He's getting hit by planes and, I don't know, rocks and kites and shit, but maybe he's just Dog the Bounty Hunter and can take a few...
Lady Bounty Hunter is going to be like, he's the toughest son of a bitch you've ever met.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But, like, does she not know he's a robot? Because we're about to find out. Robots can fuck.
Yeah! Spoilers! But, that's right. Okay, so they go to this cave, and then Byron, I guess, you know, while Paxton's, like, waking up, or Byron's coming back with one of the girls from the village. Abigail, I think was her name? I don't know. I just have her as village girl in my notes for the most, most of it.
She just, like, appears, right?
Yeah. Or I guess Byron found her out there wandering canyon or whatever. And she's like, oh, yes, I come to join you guys because I really like you guys. And I'm like, what? All right, whatever. Meanwhile, Bill Paxton, he's drawing, pictures, pictures of his dream balloon town, like in hieroglyphics or whatever, in the sand or some shit. And, Byron's like, I'm gonna go see if there's anyone else out there to save. And eventually he comes back with the grappling hook. I kept getting the village girl and the lady bounty hunter missing. Was the lady bounty hunter who he found out there?
Lady bounty hunter and crash landed with Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so the two of them were already waiting in the cave, and then the village girl came in too, so there was 4 of them in there with...
No, while they were... When the robot found village girl, and they're walking back, then That's when Lady Bounty Hunter and Bill Paxton are talking, and she's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna go find Mark Hamill myself.
And that's he's when like, Byron so shows what you, up with the grappling
and he's
hook
like, you think like... you can do a better job than he could? And she's like, I might as well try or something.
Yeah.
So she leaves the scene, the grappling hook comes right. back. Yeah.
That's right, because they also have that...
It also just was like a bunch of short clips all together, so it was real fucking weird.
Yeah, and it's intermittent with them, like, walking in the slipstream or whatever, like in the base of this canyon with the you see him like in like Hateful Eight and stuff like that, where it's like the rope, but it's like the guardrails with the rope going through it, so you just hold on to the rope and follow that because you can't really see where you're going and the strong winds and everything blowing around and shit. Yeah, so it's a weird little scene, but yeah, so Lady Bounty Hunter went off to look for Tasker, and the other three, they apparently just walk out to the plane because they know exactly where it's at.
Yeah, they know where Bill Paxton's plane is.
Yeah. And then we get out there and like, oh man, this plane is ruined. Don't worry, the next scene it's all fixed and it's nighttime now.
So it looked like, oh my God, what are the little scavengers from Star Wars?
The Jawas?
The Jawas had come out and like,
taken parts
and defaced part of it. But don't worry because our android can rebuild it.
Oh, totally. And so it's fixed by night, and they're like, all right, cool, we'll fly out in the morning then, sweet. but there's only room for two of us in there, and blah blah blah. Babe, how do they solve that problem?
Our android rides on top.
That's right. He's just raw on top of the plane, like a Magi in The Mummy, just hanging out there. And so yeah, they like fly to the next village to get some supplies, and they end up just crashing into the dirt like digging in so much like the plane looks like it's buried in the dirt. And then they basically walk to the set of the village from the Highlander is what I had written down, because it was like
100%.
I was expecting Heather to come out and like, oh, you remembered me on my birthday,
right?
but instead they like go in this little cave, and it like goes to this these big giant gates, like the big metal doors, like the gates, you know, like you're going to see the wizard or some shit, right?
Yeah.
And the village girl, she kind of like walks up ahead of them and like does I don't know, the tune to Funky Town or whatever as like the little code thing. And then someone opens the door and she hops in, and they shut the door behind them. They're like, hey, oh man, I can't believe she fucking left us out here. This is bullshit. And Byron's like, give her some time. I don't think she's gonna leave us out
she'll
here.
She'll be back.
Yeah. And lo and behold, you know, a minute later, she comes out and she's like, okay, guys, you can come on in. And okay, so then they're brought inside these gates. Babe, who's in there?
Oh my God, it's a bunch of like people dressed for like New Year's.
Yeah, it's basically a high society New Year's Eve ball. And we were both looking at each other like, holy shit, this is a boy and his dog.
It was a combination of, it reminded me both at the same time, this scene, the boy and his dog underground scene, and then also Zardoz, the insane asylum.
The insane asylum,
we're the crazy people.
Yeah, they're not called the nihilists or whatever, the ones that just don't feel anything. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the fuck they called them.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Very important.
You lie.
This is very important.
But anyway, these high society guys, you're like looking around, and there's all these incredible like statues and like columns with carvings and shit, all these ancient artifacts. It looks like a goddamn museum. And they're like wandering around, and Bill Paxton finds this like just random bottle sitting somewhere and starts swigging from it. And I'm like, I wouldn't be doing that if it's just in the middle of all these artifacts. Like that could be used to like polish the bronze on some of these statues. You don't want to just
swing
that's
it. The rat poison?
Yeah. sir, that's the, that's the nitroglycerin.
Yes. The apathetics.
Apathetics. There we go.
Yes.
See, I told you it didn't matter.
It does.
But yeah, eventually they're like, oh yeah, if you think this museum part's cool, you should check out the library. The library! Of course, Byron's like losing his shit.
Yeah!
And then, they're in the library, and Data, sorry, Byron is given this whole talk about like, oh yeah, it was designed to be my master's companion and blah blah blah. I'm like, Jesus Christ, is his master's name Ninjan Singh or whatever it was from Next Gen?
So while he was like talking about this, I was like, oh, so the old man he killed was his master because he was tired of being a slave.
You're tired of being a slave, or the master was just kind of old and had
and
something
asked for it.
Yeah, I don't know. And I made a mistake and blah blah blah. I don't know, whatever. So they go, they wash up because, you know, they've been on the run for the past couple days. Wash up, they go mingle with the other society people or whatever. And here's the thing. I'm wandering around and, like, people are, like, asking for champagne. And I'm like, huh, the Champagne region of France seems to be perfectly fine in this post-apocalyptic universe. but yeah, the village girl they showed up with, she gives this whole backstory about how, like, I guess she grew up there. And she basically had everything she wanted, but then she just wanted to leave. And that's why she went to the religious village. But now she's back and she wants to, like, escape again. But, you know, we need supplies, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, I found you guys and I found Byron. It's going to be great. So then we cut to this party where, like, again, it's like every night's New Year's Eve or something. Yeah. Like, they're just kind of dancing. You know, they got ballroom music going. And then we get this random ass Fred Astaire number from Byron, just, da, you know. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, it's a straight up, it's like a pants off dance off right over here.
Yeah, and good old Ginger Rogers, the village girl, she's right there with him, you know, like for the part where they're like spinning and stuff. And yeah, he ends up kissing her. Smash cut to Bill Paxton getting lucky too with some random blonde chick.
Yeah.
Who I totally thought was the Lady Bounty Hunter at first.
At first, he
just has a type, apparently.
Yeah, baby, he likes cute blondes.
I don't even think we get that girl's name.
I know she is the daughter of...
No, I think the village girl was the daughter.
No. So we're going to get to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah, we'll get to it. But no, because village girl points out that she is the daughter.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's where I got... Okay. But yeah, Bill Paxton getting lucky... and that's right, and this other girl's like, oh yeah, I'm sick and tired of getting everything I want. She wants to go too, I guess. Or you know, Bill Paxton's like, oh, maybe you should just come with me. And she's like, I don't know, the outside's kind of weird.
Yeah.
A lot of strange dick out there.
I'm tired of my entire life and my body and everything, but also I get everything I want.
Yeah. Smash cut to Byron in a fucking jungle setting from Next Gen, getting his swerve onto post-coitus.
He's inside one of the displays from the California Academy of Sciences.
Oh shit, it's a diorama or whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, it totally looks like you know, an episode where they land on a jungle planet of Next Gen and it just has that the blue background or whatever and the random jungle noises going on. Yeah, this movie's weird, guys. Oh, and he like wakes up post-coitus like using a stuffed leopard as a pillow.
Yeah, and there's like a bunch of like Impalas and Dik Diks staring at them.
Yeah, great. And I'm like, oh, cool, they're in love now. Roll credits, guys. What do we think of Slipstream? No, there's more. Because Paxton wakes up and he wakes up alone and. The way he was wandering around there in the first couple rooms, I'm like, shit, did everybody just leave this area? Like, he didn't see anybody for, like, a solid 2 minutes. But then he walks in a room where apparently everybody is, and babe, who's leading the conversation in that room?
Who's leading the conversation, Steve?
Academy Award winner F. Murray Abraham. You may know him from Blood Monkey.
this here podcast.
That's right. Or Last Action Hero. He was also in that one. I don't think we... I mean, Amadeus. Everybody knows him from Amadeus.
Amadeus.
You know, he pops up and shit. But yeah, it's basically where we find out, like, oh yeah, it's the girl Bill Paxton's been banging's father. And,
So this is...
Wait, no. I don't think that's right, babe. Because he's chastising... I assume was his daughter for banging a robot.
Yes. And there's another couple... Yeah, so Villa's chick is like, no, we need them to stay. And they're like, you know what happened the last time we tried to get someone from the outside to stay? He didn't even last 5 years. We ended up having to kill him because he wanted to leave. So we should just kill them both now. Oh, but we need the android. The android won't stay without his friend. There's another couple that's sitting to the side who's like, oh, you mean the android you just banged? And she's like, yes, the same way your daughter banged the human.
Yeah.
And the whole room got quiet. Right. And then F. Murray Abraham's like, well, anyway, we do actually need the android to fix our shit because he's like fixing our air conditioning system right now.
Yeah. Oh, and this is where I think Byron's talking to Bill Paxton and he was like, Bill, guess what? I slept. I actually slept. And I had a dream. And I'm like, yep, you just need to get that first nut out,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, they... And then he's like, I had a dream. We flew to the West Coast. And on top of all these mountains were others just like me that we could hang out with. And basically, Bill Paxton, he's like, all right, well, you're my friend now. So mm-hmm. you're free to go if you want. Like, if you want to go check out the West Coast
Wait,
or whatever.
Don't you still need the money?
Yeah, I'll be fine. And then, boop, we see the bounty hunters are back in. Like, okay, this first scene where it showed the bounty hunters again, and there was just, like, littered corpses on the ground. Was that supposed to be, like, they went in the gate and just killed all the guards right there at the beginning? I mean, we don't see any of it. They're just kind of walking around. There's all these bodies lying on the ground. They got the guns out. But I was like, where are they? Did they just kill another village or something? But I don't know. But anyway, so then, we cut back to the conversation. I'm like, oh, you know, don't you need the money? Like, well, you know, if you want, we could start that balloon company or whatever. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
And, you know, this is where he's like, well, I want to be with Ariel or whatever her name is, too. And he's like, well, that's cool. Yeah, we can do that. Sure. But then he's like, but I also want to go with you, but she wants to stay here and I want to be with her. My God, I have to choose. What have you done to me, Bill Paxton? Like, he's starting to, you know, have a data freak out moment. Yeah, I can't be trusted with feelings. They're like, yeah, sure you can, dude. Just calm down. And that's when the bounty hunters, like, bust in. They're like, knock, knock, motherfuckers. All I want's the android. And, Tasker or whatever. By the way, Tasker's alive, everybody.
Yeah, because he's an android.
I mean, right? He ends up, like, pistol whipping F. Murray Abraham, and it's just like, where's the android? I don't know what you're talking about. Shut up, fucker. You know where he's at. You know? I don't know. He starts, like, Tasker starts, like, threatening the artifacts. Like, I'll just blow everything up until you tell me where he is. And then he's like, all right, fine. You know what? Guys, go get Byron and bring him here to the conference room or whatever. Okay, cool. Meanwhile, Lady Bounty Hunter, she's checking in on Bill Paxton. And so Bill Paxton's tied to the bed.
Yeah.
I guess he went back for some more coitus or whatever. But yeah, that happens. And, oh, that's right. She darts him again too. And she's like, oh, right. What the fuck did you do that for? Like, that's the antidote, dummy.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, so apparently there was a poison in there, but, you know.
Or is this the antidote for his tracker? Like, does this turn his tracker off?
I don't know. Maybe that.
I don't know. It's a little confusing.
But then, I don't know. He, like, forcibly kisses her, and then... Oh, no, wait. Did he tie her to the bed? Is that what happened? Yeah, I think she was, like, leaning in, trying to be all mean or whatever. He grabbed her and, like, ended up, like, handcuffing her to the bed or whatever, and that's... Yeah, he aggressively kissed her or whatever.
Something, yeah.
That's right, because he has a gun somehow, and he's, like, jamming that down his sweatpants, basically, that he's wearing or whatever.
Sweatpants.
And I'm like, well, that's not going to go off. Meanwhile, in the conference room, Paxton shows up. Paxton he sees the situation going on with Tasker having, like, the gun out and, Byron showing up or whatever. Paxton just comes in fucking blasting like Danny DeVito. Blah, 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 blah.
So anyway, he started blasting.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's about to shoot Tasker and Byron jumps in the way and he's like, no, and like takes that shot. But then Tasker like starts shooting back or whatever. But babe, who catches that shot?
It was
Ariel.
Oh, that's right. Ariel.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one that Byron banged.
Village girl.
Yep.
Yeah. And Byron goes over and he holds her while she takes her last breaths. And then Byron goes apeshit.
Yeah. Tasker's basically like, look, this didn't have to happen, guys. You could have just given me the goddamn robot. And then Tasker just, like, leaves.
Yep.
But he doesn't. But he can't just leave, babe, because Byron needs vengeance.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Bill Paxton, he's like, Byron, don't go. You'll lose. I already have.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So yeah, we go outside and Tasker's like walking out to his plane or whatever. And as he's like getting on the plane, he like looks back and sees Byron's walking behind him. So he pulls out a rifle, fires a shot or two at him, and I'm like, you know he's a robot, that's not gonna do shit, right?
It's gonna slow him down?
Yeah. So then, yeah, he basically gets in the plane, starts trying to fly off, and, anyway. Yeah, so he gets in the airplane, starts it up, and then basically gets to ramming speed to, like, run into Byron, see if that'll take care of him. And Byron, he just fucking, like, jumps over the canopy into, I don't know, the turbine, I guess, of the plane.
Yeah.
And he's in there, and I'm expecting, like, you know, the fucking engine blows up, and he's going to be all mauled coming back. Nope, he's in there just, like, pulling wires and shit, and Tasker's like, hey, stop that shit.
What are you doing? My car.
But apparently he's, like, pulling the wires and stuff so he can, I don't know, dig into the back of the canopy and then, like, reach through, and he's, like, choking Tasker or whatever. Yeah, they just get a nice little choke fight, and, like, one of them, like, kicks the control panel or whatever, so it's all busted and shit. And as the life's about to leave Tasker's eyes, he starts saying the same shit from earlier, I reached out my hand and touched the face of God! Ah! And Byron's like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm a good guy. And, like, you know, whatever. But the plane now, it's like diving, like it should already be hitting the ground because they didn't get that far off the ground from what I could tell. But Byron, he like grabs a couple, I don't know, like a stick and a wire or something, and he's like trying to pull it up, and Tasker's like cheering him on, like, yeah, you're doing it, yeah, pull up, buddy, you got this, we're gonna make it, right into the side of a fucking mountain. I'm like, where'd that mountain come from? Doesn't matter, Steve, don't worry about it.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to.
Yep. So then, yeah, out of the fiery rubble, Byron comes walking out of there, you know, at least he's got the schmutz on his face and stuff. He's not walking out like a Terminator skeleton or whatever. But yeah, he runs into Bill Paxton. I don't know if he was like walking back to the city or whatever, and Paxton's like, I don't know, following the fire or whatever, see what happened.
I thought they just like kind of looped around and crashed landed again right back at the front of the building.
Yeah, like they couldn't have gone that far. Yeah, I don't know. All the scenery looked the same, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically he's like, Byron says back to like, I'm too dangerous to be human. He's like, no, you're not too dangerous. We're the ones that are too dangerous. And then, I don't know, we cut to them at a waterfall, and they're saying their goodbyes, and, I don't know, they go their separate ways, and Paxton is with the lady bounty hunter now, and they leave on the plane. And, oh, that's right, he also says, Paxton says, Byron's, like, walking off or whatever this, and he's like, there goes my best friend. Roll credits? But, babe, what happened when there's credits? Some of the weirdest hot air balloons I've ever seen.
That's right, the weird-ass hot air balloons. Which I guess means that they started their hot air
Their own company? Creepy hot air balloon company.
Dude, these are so weird.
Yeah, these have to be like Japanese ones, because there's like a giant Magikarp one. Yeah. There's one that looks like some sort of like origami fox or some shit. Like,
there's one, I don't know what the hell it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was abstract shapes. Piece. I don't know. But yeah, guys, that's Slipstream.
Slipstream! Yeah.
Babe, would you recommend this movie?
You know what? Yes. This movie's just weird enough to work.
Yeah, it's a weird tale. Like, it's trying to be like Blade Runner. It's weird tonally, because it's like trying to be Blade Runner with like the whole like what makes us a man and a decent being, or if we're a robot, can we also have feelings and love and blah, blah, blah. And then other times it's just, oh yeah, weird post-apocalyptic world where everybody rides on kites and worships the wind and blah blah blah. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot trying to happen. It's a little Mad Max. It's a little. They even do the like. I dreamt. What did you dream of? Electric sheep.
Yeah. Like, if I found out this was like loosely inspired by a Philip K. Dick short story or something.
Oh, it's 100% whoever did this had read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, for sure.
But yeah, it's pretty good. If you find a decent copy of it, go for it. I don't know what it's like on Tubi and stuff. Like I said, we watched it on the Blood Bank.
Yeah.
And Steve, I assume it's like a YouTuber.
How would you watch it on the Blood Bank?
Oh, well, if you go to patreon.com/bloodybits, with the Bloody Bits Horror Show, they for just $10 a month, you get access to the Blood Bank, which has over 8,000 hard-to-find movies and television shows. Yeah, check it out, guys. Tell them Steve sent you.
Woo!
And while you're over there at Patreon, head on over to EILF Movies, and for just starting at $2 a month, you get early access to all of our episodes, you get our Patreon-exclusive episodes, and we send you cool shit every Christmas, so
you're welcome. Or sometimes for Mardi Gras.
Sometimes gets delayed, you know, shipping and whatnot. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, that note, oh man, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more beer.
What?
Fun facts.
What?
And what we learn from Slipstream.
Woo!
Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out untidyvenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top.
Oh,
are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons, magnets, stickers, bottle openers, artist trading cards, or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by untidyvenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping.etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at untidyvenus. Or visit her website at izzycreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? untidyvenus.etsy.com, the goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Did you ever go on vacation with your family and hope the dance instructor would fall in love with you?
No, but I did think a guy with a giant boombox playing Peter Gabriel outside my window in the middle of the night meant true and undying love.
Listen to our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, where we revisit these movies and it turns out they weren't the best ideas.
What were you thinking?
You can find our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcatcher.
You can also tweet at us at HEAMCAST, Heamcast.
There's so many podcasts out there. How do I find the one for me?
For so long, I've searched for podcasts all over, but none of them seem to fit my needs. Where's my Nick Cage Pissing Fire podcast? Where's my Monkey Tickling? I couldn't find it anywhere until I found the Everything I Learned from Movies podcast with Steve and Izzy. And now I get to hear about all the monkey tickling I want, baby.
So many podcasts out there are all talk and no Congo. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
Greatest living actor? Nicolas Cage, of course. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
One-liners, plot holes, gratuitous boobies? Fun fact, that's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
See if Everything I Learned from Movies is right for you at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies on Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon. Free on all the major podcatchers.
Hi, this is Dana Gould, and you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies on your radio, phone, computer, television, or record player.
And we're back!
Oh my god, Steve, those were the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding!
Oh, she said it! You're about every week!
Sorry, I can't get over that the, I just found out that one of the writers for The Atlantic has never even heard of My Fellow Americans.
I mean...
But she's watching some
Not everybody's a big fan of Dana Gould like we are.
I'd seen it before Dana Gould. I owned it before Dana Gould.
James Garner, Jack Lemmon, Dan Aykroyd.
She's watching a Charlize Theron, Seth Rogen election rom-com.
Oh, yeah, yeah. shit. I forget what it's called, but yeah, yeah.
Would you recommend that or My Fellow Americans?
Oh, My Fellow Americans. Well, I haven't seen the Theron Rogan one because I'm like, nah, it's a little far fetched. But like swing, it's not swing vote, but it's like, yeah, something stupid like that. Anyway. Babe, I don't know about you. I'm a little thirsty.
Ooh, I'm still sober.
Oh, well, let's see if this will change that. Oh, here we go. From Roadhouse Brewing in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We have their Wilson Mountain Style IPA.
Woohoo!
7.5% alcohol by volume. Duke of Lizards is what it says on here.
Duke of Lizards!
Oh, here we are. Poised at the base of Teton Pass sits Wilson, Wyoming. As unobtrusive as the brooding lizard. Where lives a people practically extinct from doing things smart people don't do.
What is happening?
I don't know. In your hand, the brew, formerly known as Rhombus, with its piquant floral and citrus notes, live deep. Random words. What is a fucking haiku? What's going on here? Here we are. Style, India Pale Ale. Pairs with Euphoric Recall, Spicy Thai, Sid Barrett Style Dissonance. Notes, intense hops, vicious citrus.
Guys, lay off the shrooms.
You're right.
And, lay off the shrooms, drink the winter.
And my top?
Oh, his top.
Roadhouse.
Sorry, drink the Roadhouse.
And the poor?
Oh, I got it. It's lizards, but really they were licking toads.
Ah.
Turns out licking lizards doesn't get you the same effect.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful, lightly hazy golden beer. It has a gorgeous white head. Lots of bubbles that are lingering.
Lots of bubbles and they're lingering.
It's nice and piney on the aroma.
Very piney. I like it.
Steve's going in for the sip.
Mm. Yeah, piney. A little bit of citrus. I'm really getting a lot of floral. I guess on the back end, but yeah.
Yeah, I get some floral.
It's not super piney or anything, though. It's like a nice balance and just kind of mellow. Yeah, you could probably drink a couple of these.
Yeah, it's got a good strong hop flavor, but it has a pretty clean finish, which helps, like, keep it from feeling, having that, like, take the enamel off your teeth feeling.
Yeah, weird teeth, the mouth feel, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's Roadhouse Brewing Wilson IPA.
Give me a little bit more of that.
I will.
Give it to me. Get it inside me. Ooh. Get some of that tall boy inside me, Steve.
Like a robot. Anyway.
I don't need a robot. I already have perfection.
That's right. Trying to be human, but I just have to settle for perfection.
Steve, if you were an android, you'd tell me, right?
Well, babe. Would you be interested in any fun facts about this movie? I'm a robot.
I don't know, Steve. Are they fun facts? Super fun facts? Because they're fun, fun. Why aren't you making more money?
Affirmative. All right, babe. Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think the critics thought of Slipstream?
Do the critics think of Slipstream?
They certainly do.
Oh, that actually surprises me more than... You know what? I am going to go with my super generous 17%.
43% with the critics.
Good. I mean, honestly, for Robbie Coltrane's cup of coffee.
Cups of coffee for Robbie Coltrane, Ben Kingsley, and F. Murray Abraham all in the 80s, back when they were respected.
Yeah.
But babe, nobody gives a fuck about the critics. What about that audience score?
I'm going to say 65.
23% with the audience.
Really?
Yeah. The charming Bill Paxton and Mark Hamill for a couple days. I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't have anything about the budget or worldwide gross. Like, I guess it was released in theaters, but I don't have any details on it on IMDb. The part of Will Tasker was a notably different role for Mark Hamill. What? Who has previously portrayed Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars film franchise and was worried about being typecast as the naive young hero in science fiction movies. This was his first movie since Return of the Jedi, 6 years earlier. He came out of retirement, I guess, for this.
All right.
Or I guess this was the next gig he was hired on. Yeah, guys, that's why for Marky March, we're basically starting with Slipstream, and we're going through to Village of the Damned.
Because
90s, early 90s Mark Hamill, you know, besides just being the voice of the Joker, He's got some interesting movies in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We fell down a Mark Hamill rabbit hole.
Yeah, you'll get to hear all about it.
Oh, oh man. Yeah. Like, basically, it was one of those Steve Left Me Alone with the TV one day. Like, you went to go get beers or something. And we're like, pick some movies while I'm gone. And I loaded us up with, like, 20 Mark Hamill movies.
There you go.
And then we proceeded to watch them.
Well, most of them, anyway.
And they get weird.
Oh, yeah. Different genres and stuff, too. Like, superhero one coming up. We got a horror one coming up.
The more of them that, like, I watched, the more I realized, like, I've not appreciated how Mark Hamill basically did, like, what Harry Potter did. Just picking weird shit to not get typecast.
Is there space wizards in it? All right, then I'm in.
Right?
Yeah. Mark Hamill based his performance as Tasker on a patrolman who stopped him on the Pacific Coast Highway.
All right, as a robot.
I guess, yeah. Well, no, he wasn't the robot, babe. He was, well,
are you sure?
Not 100%. I don't know. He didn't come walking out of that rubble.
Not the scene we saw.
Oh, wait, maybe the sequel.
Sequel bag?
Slipstream 2, The Search for Byron's Gold. producer Gary Kurtz was having major financial difficulties during the production and filming.
What?
He was in the middle of a divorce case, which he lost. Oh, boy. And lost all of his profits from the Star Wars movies, which he were used to finance this movie in part. This is one of the major reasons this movie has gone into public domain since it's released.
Oh.
Shit.
We could remake this?
Apparently, guys. That's why there's so many movies called Slipstream.
Oh, my God. I'm sure. Dude, could you imagine this movie even with just like a mid-range budget?
All right. Tasker, he'll be played by Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And Lady...
And he's going to be platinum blonde again.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. Lady Bounty Hunter. You would think I'd say Emma Watson. No, whoever played Myrtle, the chick in the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she can get a gig.
You don't want to go for the weird blonde girl that Harry hooks up with at the end?
Nah. Nah. None of
the one who sees ghosts or whatever?
Or Helena Bonham Carter? I don't know.
No. Helena Bonham Carter's a little bit old for
this. Let's see. Who's the Bill Paxton of our day?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a Hemsworth.
I mean, sure, but are we going Liam?
Yeah, I think we had to go kind of like a Liam. Well, yeah.
Or,
I don't know,
Tugger. I'm sure that's the name of Hemsworth out there somewhere.
Are there still some feral Australian Hemsworths we haven't discovered yet?
Good old rhubarb Hemsworth. Did Muldoon have a kid? Let's see if we can get him in. I say, who's going to be our android?
Oh. David Thewlis?
I mean, if you're going to make an android, why would you make it look like David Thewlis? <I know. laughs> By the way, also, babe, I don't know if you know this. David Thewlis is in his late 60s.
I know.
Oh, shit. David Thewlis is the Avatar.
Oh, yes.
Instead of Ben Kingsley. There we go.
And Nick Cage is the leader of the underground people.
Yes. Nick Cage is F. Murray Abraham.
Yes.
That only makes sense. And since he can't be the robot. Robot's Keanu.
Oh, perfect. Yes. we.
But Keanu's in his like late 50s, early 60s. Don't worry about it, guys.
Don't
It'll
worry
be fine.
About it. We need a perfect being, okay?
What do you want it to be? Ryan Reynolds? He's also really good as early 50s. late 40s.
I hate to say this. I think Ryan Reynolds might be too charismatic for this role.
True. Yeah, you do need kind of a stick in the mud, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What's Brett? Oh, shit. Brett Spiner can be the Avatar.
Oh, Brett Spiner. He's also in his 70s, too.
And then Jeff Goldblum is the...
shit.
That's for Abraham. Guys, give us money.
Just give us money.
I mean, we reached the most important part.
Yes.
What did we learn from Slipstream?
Oh. Well, I mean, I learned that... humans are just trying to be perfect, and he's just trying to be human.
Perfect, yep. I learned the real Slipstream are the friends we made along the way.
Yes!
I also learned every time human trash is put under a rock pile, the world's a better place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Androids can fuck.
Yeah.
Well, babe. Thank you so much for watching this movie with me.
Oh, thank you for watching this movie with me.
And if I were trying to find you on the social medias or whatever, would I be able to do that?
I don't know.
Am I blocked?
You're not.
Yay!
Possibly a lot of people listening. No. I love you guys. I am at Untidy Venus on all the social medias. Instagram. Not really the X anymore. Technically, you can follow me, but I'm not really on there. Facebook, the Blue Skis under Untidy Venus. It's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. The Patreons occasionally. Steve, where would we find you?
Oh, we can find us everywhere on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. Tell a friend. Or if you want to hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, Patreon, and Blue Ski at EILF Movies. That's
Everything I Learned from Movies.
Ah. Yeah, we're everywhere, baby. Yeah, we're starting off Marky March here.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard already, guys, by the time you're hearing this, we've watched Dune Part 2.
What?
Steve's been waiting 3 years for a good movie to come out in theaters to go see, and he found one. I'm just guessing. But yeah, we'll have a little mini episode after we hear about it, after we watch it. It's going to be great. Yeah, what else we got going on in March? Nothing much really right now, but
yeah,
keep an eye on Untidy Venus. She's making stuff all the time. We're doing live sales, all kinds of cool shit. If you're in the Ogden area of Utah, hit us up. Hey, if you want to be on an episode, hit us up at EILF Movies, and we'll get you on one. We have pretty low standards, guys. Want to be on a podcast for a first time? We'll walk you through it. We're pretty easy going.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Just hit us up, and we're being super lenient this year.
Yeah.
Doing a bunch of customer favorites.
That's right. So yeah, since the next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.